The Generosity Challenge. Our God is an extravagantly generous God. And if we want to look like God, we need to be generous. Extravagantly generous. So there's actually a verse I want to put up there. It's Romans 8:32. It says, "He who did not spare his own son." Imagine the extravagance. That God would be willing to sacrifice his own son for you and for me, but deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So because God the Father gave his son his best, his everything, then how much more will he not give us everything we need? So our God is an extravagant God. And he wants an extravagantly generous God, and he wants us to look like him. So that's the idea of this whole month. And with all these challenges, it's about developing a culture of being generous to others. Okay, so quick question. Who has done at least one of these so far? Yes. Okay, we're going to push it to. Who's done five or more? I want to see how many gifts we need for next week. Okay, well, I am around 2021, I think. And I'm still going for it. The deadline is next week, Sunday, to get to 24 out of the 30. And then you're going to get a small gift just to sort of reward you and bless you. But we're also going to extend the deadline 1 week on. Okay, so you can even the following week, so 2 weeks from now, you can still receive your small gift to be generous. I tell you, it's just really so good to be generous. There's a buzz on my sound system. And is it only me hearing it, or are you hearing it as well? Okay, awesome. I think we've got bees in the system. Okay, so just a few examples. Number one, invite someone in church you don't know for supper. Okay, that's a great one to do. Number two, offer your professional service to someone for free. Also a wonderful way of making a difference in someone's life. Number four, pray with your spouse or your friend over your finances. Sonic and I did this, was wonderful. Just to pray together, to discuss our budget, was really good. Do good to one of your employees. Number five, praying for him, her or him, blessing her or him with a gift. We also did in the office with our staff. We prayed over them. We gave them a small gift and then prayed over them. It was really a special, really special moment. Bless a civil servant. Number 10. Number 13, give a 20% tip to your waiter with a word or scripture on a generosity blessing card. You must take one of those little cards in the packet, write a word on it. So we're going to do that this week for a waiter. We're planning to do it this past week. Didn't get to it, but we're going to try to do it now. Number 15, surprise your spouse or your best friend with a special gift. I did that last week. You see, I lead from the front. Okay. Literally and figuratively. So there's a few things. And the idea is to become generous as a lifestyle. To look like God, to bless other people, and so that they can know how good and how beautiful our God is. Okay, so I'm going to continue on the topic of speaking about finances. Say yay! Okay, let me give you some background. Okay, so there are more than 2,000 scriptures in the Bible around stewardship and finances. More than 2,000. Jesus spoke more about finances than almost any other thing. Stewardship and finance, more than almost any other thing. Why? Why would Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, speak so much and so often about stewardship and about finances? You see, because it's about our hearts. He's after our hearts. He wants our hearts. Jesus knew more than anything else, finances, money, things, our possessions is incredibly distracting to our hearts. It can get a hold of our hearts and draw us away from God. And so Jesus often spoke into that area because he wants our hearts to be with him. He wants our treasure to be in heaven so that our hearts will also be in heaven. Okay, so it's a really critical topic. And I feel so strongly about it, and especially about 5 years ago, this came home to me. A good friend of mine, we were students together, we were in hostel next to one another, and he was on fire for God. When we were students, he was on fire for God. He would always have the biggest small groups, like normally like 25 plus people, students in his group, and in many of them he would bring to Christ himself as he would reach out to them and touch them and share with them about God. And so he was on fire for the Lord as a student, and then later he studied to be a doctor, and then he became a doctor. I've shared this before, parts of the story before. And so he became this doctor, and he started to earn a decent income, and then suddenly things changed. Suddenly he didn't believe in tithing anymore. Suddenly he bought a nice car, wanted nice holidays, but there's not enough money for God in the process. And so as a good friend, as good friends do and should do, I had a good chat with him, a very challenging chat with him. And I said to him, "What's going on? I can see your heart is turning away from God. Now you were on fire for Jesus as a student when you had little income. Now that you have a decent income, suddenly your things and your holidays and your hikes and all these other things are absolutely consuming your life. I am worried about you. You are losing your way." So it was obviously a bit of an uncomfortable discussion. But we're really good friends, so we can just say it as it is. And about 2 weeks later, he came back to me and he said, you were right. My heart has turned away from God. My heart has drifted. And so he began again to tithe, and he began to give above and beyond the tithe, and he started to lead his heart back to Jesus. And the fire of God, he got his passion for God back. Now he's actually now overseas, and some months he earns $100,000 a month. A month. Now if I didn't have this chat with him, if I didn't challenge him on this when he didn't earn that much, do you know how hard it is to tithe on $100,000? That's $10,000, people. That seems like a lot of money. But it's still just 10%, so who cares? 10% of 300 Rand or 10% of $100,000, whatever. But it's about your heart following the Lord. And I'm wondering about this friend of mine, if he would still be serving Jesus there, because he shared with me so many of the other doctors, South African doctors that go overseas, they get consumed with their stuff. They get consumed with mammon, with money, with possessions, with holidays. They live for the money. They go overseas for a better lifestyle, but they paid per hour in terms of what they work. And so they actually work harder than ever before, and they see their families less than ever before because they're after the money. And so about 5 years ago, this came home to me. And I realized that I will sin against every person in this place if I do not preach the scriptures, if I do not preach what Jesus preached. So this is really important. This is really important. And even just for me and Sonica, just preparing these messages and going through the scriptures, I am so inspired to give. And we are, you know. But you need to be generous, but you also need to be a good steward of what you have in the way of getting out of debt and things like that. So the finance seminar last week, Saturday, we spoke about it. It was brilliant. So we recorded on video, audio. We'll make it available online soon so you can go through those things. So that's one part of being in a place that you can be debt-free. And so Sonic and I, we've been working to be debt-free. We are debt-free. We don't have a cent of debt. We don't own a house, but we don't have a cent of debt. Do you know how rich we feel? Many of you are probably earning a lot more, but we feel rich. We can give, and we can give thousands, because those thousands would have gone to the house, or we've gone to the car. But now we can bless and be generous. And I must say, when I'm going through the scriptures, I'm like, oh, come on, God, give me someone to bless. So years ago, actually, I've always been like this. Just when God speaks, I do it. So years ago, I was working in Cape Town, and I was driving back home just before going on a missions trip in Cape Town. And I just felt God saying, give your car away. So I said, okay. So I came home, told my wife, I'm going to give my car away. I shared it with some of the Southernwood guys on Wednesday night. And so some of them saying, ooh, give me your car. But that's always been my heart, because I've always known somehow, even as a student, even studying, I was doing my master's degree in engineering. I was on the student council of the university. I was in the same meetings with guys like Christo Visser and GT Ferreira, all these big business guys. And I remember, you know, being set up for this amazing career, and I just realized I'm miserable. I'm not enjoying life. I have all these things set for me, and I'm rubbing shoulders with all the big boys, some of the richest men in the country. I was miserable. And I came to the conclusion, money will never satisfy me. Money will never satisfy, and money will never satisfy you. Doesn't matter how much you have, doesn't matter how much stuff you have. The fancy new car after 2 weeks is boring. But something in me, I came to realize that things will never, never, never make me happy. And then I could say, okay, God, I'm willing to whatever you do. Ministry, here we go. Here we go. You know, so I'm trusting that something will shift on the inside of us. That we will pursue God and not the money. That we'll pursue the King of Kings, the King of Glory and true riches. And not things that will just fade away after a few months or a few years. So the next verse speaks about this. This is Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Well, okay, not yet. Yeah, there we go. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. Say cannot. It's impossible. Jesus says it's impossible for you to pursue the money and to pursue God with all your heart. You're going to hate the one. In other words, if you pursue the money, if you pursue the possessions, if your career becomes your God, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to hate God on one level or another. You're going to hate obedience to God. You're going to hate it when people speak about finances on Sunday. You know, it's going to freak you out. It's going to make you uncomfortable, because maybe you're pursuing something else. Maybe something else has become your God. And Jesus says you can't. It's impossible to serve God and mammon. So it was interesting. On Sunday night, I was preaching in Southernwood, and after the meeting, I spoke to one of the student girls, and she said to me, I asked her, well, what are you? I was speaking about tithing. Uncomfortable topic. So I was speaking about tithing and generosity, and then I asked her, so what do you think? And she told me she grew up in a traditional church, and she would tell her grandmother, it is daylight robbery. 10 o'clock in the morning. They're stealing you blind. She was so negative about her grandmother giving her money to the church. And she says to me then, but she says things have changed now. Because over the last 3 weeks, she came to Jesus. Over the last 3 weeks, and now she told me, now that the Holy Spirit has filled my body. Amazing. She said, now that the Holy Spirit has filled my body, I understand. I see things differently. You know, so there's something that needs to happen in our hearts to see it differently. So just take it to the Lord. You know, never give because of manipulation or compulsion. All I'm asking is just be open. Just open your heart, open your mind, and take it to Jesus. Go fight with him about his scriptures. Why did you say that? Go speak to him about it. Let his spirit work in your heart, and it will lead to lasting freedom. I promise you, Sonic and me, we are absolutely free. We feel richer than ever. But we're not pursuing the money. We're pursuing Jesus. absolute freedom. Okay, so I want to use this example, borrowing it from Francis Chan. You see my rope? I've used this once in Southernwood. This is, imagine for a moment, this rope represents, is a timeline of your life. But now also for a moment, imagine that this rope continues 20,000 times around the earth. It never stops. Unending. Okay? Now, this is like for forever. The red part is your life here on earth. Your red part, the red part. That's your life. So think about this. Some of us are like halfway. Some of us a little bit further down the way. And you know what? What's really crazy is that we are absolutely obsessed with this little bit red part. And we forget about the rest. We forget about the millions of years that's coming. We forget that there's a moment when you and I die, when we hit the end of the red, we are translated from this life into eternity. And if we are Christian, if we've surrendered our lives to Jesus, heaven is our destination. So, but what is amazing is that some of us are like, man, I'm going to work my behind off. I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to work so hard so that I can enjoy this little bit over here. Oh, that's going to be so good. Retired. Play golf. Isn't that, wouldn't that be crazy if we could see the whole deal and we absolutely obsessed only with this little bit? Wouldn't that be foolish? Wouldn't that be crazy? But so many of us are. We're obsessed with the here and now. We're obsessed with the economy and what's happening in our job and our career and our cars and our houses. And our biggest mission is if I can just be more comfortable. If I can just be more comfortable. If I can make my life more comfortable. You know, that is like almost the ultimate for people in our Western society, Western culture. You know, but if you look at the scripture, if you look at the Apostle Paul, he wasn't focused on the red. He was focused on eternity. He was saying, I'm reaching forward to the prize of the upward call of God. I am not focused on the here and now. I just one day want to stand before Jesus and I want to hear good and faithful servant. That's my mission. That's what I want to do. My eyes are on eternity, not here and now. You see, but if your mission is comfort, if your mission is, I am afraid about my retirement, if your mission is, I am afraid of not having enough, if we live in a place of fear, of lack, then we are just red focused. And we're going to miss the heart of God. And we're going to forget to invest in eternity. And we will hit eternity one day and we're going to be just so, so poor. So I want to open your eyes to see there's more. There's a bigger picture. Amen. Amen. So I realized when I was reading through this, I was just amazed again with eternity, the power of eternity. It changes our things. You know, some people might look at us and they might say, you're really stupid. You're stupid. Stupid for giving so much. Stupid for tithing. Stupid for living sacrificially. You're stupid. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're stupid. You're missing the whole deal. You're missing the whole deal. You're just looking at your little bit. And I believe that when we get our eyes on eternity and we get our eyes on who God is, we're actually going to be free from worry, free from stress. And who likes to worry about money? No one. It's no fun. So the Lord wants to set us free. And everything we do in that little red part influences our forever, millions of years that's coming. So there's a beautiful quote. It says, about heaven that is real. It says, make no mistake about it. Heaven is a real place. It is not a state of mind. It's not a figment of man's imagination. Not a philosophical concept. Not a religious abstraction. Not a sentimental dream. Not the medieval evil fancy of an ancient scientist. Not the worn-out superstition of a liberal theologian. It's an actual place, a location for more, far more real than where you presently live. It is a real place where God lives. It is the real place from which Christ came into this world. And it's the real place into which Christ returned at his ascension. Really. And we're going there. Heaven is a real place. And there's something happening when we come to the end. When we come to the end of our red, there's a change, a massive, massive shift coming on every level in our lives. I want to be ready for that. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? We've had a few guys in church over the last 3 weeks have heart attacks. And they're still fine, sitting here this morning, praise God. But what if they weren't fine? And what if that's you? What if that's me? Are we ready? Have we lived in a way that we can say, God, we lived it. We lived life to the full. So I want to hold before you. I'm going to imagine for a moment you're a financier, a guy that gives counsel around finances. I'm going to hold two scenarios before you. And the reason I'm going to do this, I want you to see how different God looks at stewardship and at finances and at life in general. It's mind-boggling. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So think about this for a moment. A poor woman comes to you for counsel. She says, my husband died 6 years ago. I'm down to my last 20 rand. I have no more money. The cupboards are bare. This 20 rand is all I have to live on. Yet I feel as if God wants me to put it in the offering on Sunday. Last 20 rand, she feels God is saying, put it in the offering. What would you and I say? What do you think? What would you tell her? Well, we'll probably say the following. That's very generous of you, dear. But God gave you common sense. He knows your heart. He knows you want to give. But he wants you to take care of yourself. He knows you need to eat. And I'm sure God would have you keep the 20 rand, buy food for tomorrow. He wants your needs to be met. Doesn't that sound just logical? It does. Just no, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't be silly. What would God say in such a scenario? Well, we know the scripture speaks about it. Mark 12:41. I love the story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Of course, it just blows your mind. How different it is to how we think. Look at this. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Again, this is Jesus. Now, he's sitting there where people are giving money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. The one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant, these 2 copper coins. So he called his disciples to himself. Now think about this. All the rich are giving into the treasury, and they give giving a lot. Then this little lady comes to give her last few mites, her last bit. What does Jesus see? It's like, what does heaven see? Heaven sees the lady that comes and gives a few copper coins. We would, you know, if you and I were the lady, we'd think, ah, but the church has enough money and look at this massive temple and all the rich are giving and what the heck, you know, I'm not going to give. They're going to, well, why should I do that? You know, they've got all this money. But then Jesus sees it differently. He says there, so he called his disciples to himself. He says, guys, come and look. Come. You, yeah, you come. I want to show you this. I want to make a scene right here. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more, say more, than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. She put in more. From heaven's perspective, God is not looking at the amount. He looks at what it costs us. It's a little bit like a wife, I think, a woman. When her husband comes and does something, it's not the value that matters, it's the sacrifice that matters. How much did he suffer to plant this, to pick this flower? Was it just like by the way, or did he have to travel across the hills, across the mountains, swim through the river with the crocodiles, and found the flower, and now... wife is happy. Cost you something. Good. Don't care about a big present. Just cost it. It must cost you. In the same way, I think God looks at the heart and he's after our hearts. So he wants us when we give, it must cost us something. If the rich gives their 2%, God isn't interested or impressed. When a widow who has nothing gives her everything, that amazes God because he loves faith. He loves trust. He loves it when someone says, okay, God, I've got nowhere else to go. It's just you. I'm giving you my last. Jesus was blessed. And then you could also say, so a few arguments we can have, my little bit's not going to make a difference. Well, then Jesus says it does because you're giving it to him. And then secondly, we can say, well, they're going to misuse it or mess it up or whatever. So think about this. This lady gives into a corrupt priesthood, a corrupt temple. Jesus has been rebuking the hypocrites from left, from beginning to the end. You hypocrites, you hypocrites, you hypocrites. And yet he was celebrating what she was doing. Now get this, this principle is so powerful. Because when she gave her money into the offering, she wasn't giving it to the temple. She was giving it unto God. And that blesses the heart of God. In the same way, when you and I give to the poor, we are not giving it to the poor. We are giving it unto God. Because he said, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Jesus said, whoever does this to the least of these does it to me. So when you bless someone that doesn't have with something, you're giving it to Jesus. And you are blessing his heart. And I don't know about you, but as a Christian, as a child of God, that's my passion. I want to bless the heart of Jesus. I want to bless the heart of God. So Jesus looks at how much it costs us. Not at the amount. You can't say it's 1,000 rand, so it's a lot. He looks at more than that, beyond that. And do you also know what I believe? Something was happening there. I mean, you can accuse Jesus and say, Jesus, how can you be so insensitive? This poor woman, this is her last little bit, and you are actually excited that she gave it away. Jesus, this doesn't make sense. It completely makes sense when you know how the kingdom is designed. The Bible says, give, and it will be given unto you. In other words, you access the resources of heaven. Jesus knew that when she gave her last bit, she's gonna get provided for. She will be provided for. Give, and it will be given unto you. And I'm not saying you must not give everything to the church. I'm just trying to reveal the principles of the kingdom. The Lord looks at it differently than we do. Okay, second example. A successful, hardworking, middle-aged farmer whose crop production has been excellent. He tells you, I'm planning to tear down my old barns to build bigger ones so I can store up more crops and goods and have plenty saved up for the future. Then I can take it easy, retire early, and maybe do some traveling and golfing. What do you think? What would your response be? What would my response be? You would probably say, sounds good to me. You've worked hard. The Lord has blessed you with good crops. Hey, it's your business. It's your crops, your money. If you can save up enough to take care of yourself for the rest of your life, by all means, go for it. Maybe one day I'll be in a position to do the same. Woohoo! Eh? Doesn't that sound logical? Come on, you've got all of this now. Just save it for yourself, enjoy it, and enjoy life. What would God say? I know this is challenging. And I'm not saying you shouldn't save. We spoke about that at the finance seminar. You should save and you should prepare for retirement, all those things. Now look at what God says to this man. This is Jesus speaking again. Luke 12, 20 to 21. The parable of the farmer who was going to build all these extra barns for his amazing harvest. But God said to him, fool. What? No. Whoa. This is a good businessman. This is a brilliant business guy. Most of us will, when he drives past us in his nice Ferrari, we're like, oh man, wish I could do that. Oh, wish I could be playing golf instead of working now. I wish I had all of that he has. Oh, look at this beautiful house. Oh, I so look up to him. He's such an inspiration. What does God say? Fool, fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ah, yeah, I know everybody's like, hallelujah, amen, good preaching. Loving it this morning. I'm not uncomfortable in any way. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So I'm going to help you to try and be rich one day when you hit eternity. This is what it's saying. Jesus saying, come on, you're missing it. You're missing the heart of it. You're not rich towards God because you're only holding it on for yourself. One of my pastor friends shared with me that some of his businessmen, they've decided they're not going to just tithe, they're going to reverse tithe. They tithe 90%. So some of these guys are giving $100,000 plus a month to the church. And I'm thinking, Muslims say, that's really silly. You could do so much with all of that money. But I think from God's perspective, amazing. Wow. A rich man. Because he's investing in the kingdom of God. He's investing in the heart of God. So I just want to put it out there. Let the Holy Spirit, not in terms of the church, but putting out there, let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and lead you to invest in the kingdom so that what you have here, you can translate it into eternity. That you can be rich unto God, rich unto God, rich unto God. I wouldn't want to be called a fool by God one day. Do you? I'm sure you don't. So I know it's uncomfortable. It doesn't sit lekker with us. It makes us uncomfortable. But God's perspective on most things makes us super uncomfortable. On most things. His thoughts are different. His ways are different. He sees things differently. Do you realize we sometimes think God is like us? He is not. We think he's like, oh, 10% is so much. Do you know that this is the same God that sacrificed his son on the cross? Do you know it's the same God that called his apostles to be killed for their faith? The same God who allowed many Christians to be thrown into the Colosseum to the lions. And God's like, oh, I hope he's not tithing. It's just such a massive sacrifice. No. He's like, give your life for me. 10% is nothing. 20% is not much. God is looking for more than our money. He's looking for our hearts, our time, our effort, our everything. Because do you know what's the result? You get blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Honestly. There's a reason why my wife and I have a beautiful marriage. Because we have decided to together seek first the kingdom of God. And then other things will be added, by the way. But we have decided to position ourselves in a place where, God, Jesus, you're number one. We're going to shut down every other door that will distract us, that will come and steal for us. Do you know how often we counsel people in marriages that are really, really battling, and that either one of the two, their hearts have turned away from Jesus for one or other reason. Seek first the kingdom. All these other things will be added. So, think about this for a moment. Imagine 15 years ago, you were in Zimbabwe and you thought, I am going to hoard Zim dollars. You had this massive stash under your bed. Woo! Every day you're like counting. I'm a billionaire. This is amazing. I am so rich. And what happens? Massive economic collapse. Everything changes. Your whole stash is hardly enough to buy one bread. Do you know that there's a massive economic shift coming? The moment you die, gold is like just the streets of heaven is gold. This gold is not valuable. It's like dust. But when we sacrifice for the kingdom, when we give unto God, when we give of our time and our talents into the kingdom of God, when everything we do for other people in the name of Jesus is translated into eternity and we become rich unto God. There's a massive economic shift coming and it's hitting around there at the end of your red. Are you ready? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Okay, just ending off. The next verse there, just after that bit about Jesus saying, you know, he himself is not rich towards God. The next verse he says, therefore, do not worry about stuff, food, clothing. So it's not on the screen, but I'm just saying, just after it says, therefore. So Jesus is saying, in the light of being rich towards God, in the light of eternity, don't worry. Don't worry about things that will fade away. Don't worry about house prices. Don't worry about, do you have enough for retirement? Don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God's going to sort out the rest for you. Amen. I spoke to a guy recently that has a major problem in his life. A disease that if he doesn't get treatment, he will die for it. And so he spoke to family, and everybody's so worried about him. How are you handling it? And he just said, Mom, don't worry. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I'm just going to seek Jesus. That's all I'm going to do. He handled it unbelievably well because his eyes were on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom. Okay, last one over here. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is Jesus speaking. Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. So if our houses or our cars, of these things, if our hearts are more drawn to that than to God, then we're just missing out on what the Lord wants to do. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, just confirming what I just said. Eternally minded, eternally focused. In the last verse, Luke 6, 38. And I love this because it gives the key, a principle of the kingdom. A principle of the kingdom. Jesus, again, I'm showing you Jesus scriptures. Jesus saying, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Isn't that amazing? Give. So Jesus is saying, if you that lady with the last 20 rand, it's actually a good idea to give it away. Because you need so much more. You need God to step in. You need God to intervene in your life. So give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. And I don't believe that just speaks of physical stuff. I believe that speaks of physical and spiritual. I'm pursuing more. I'm pursuing the true riches I spoke of last week. I'm pursuing the true riches, God. I'm not just wanting earthly. I want your presence. I want lives to be transformed. I want revival to break out. I want East London multitudes to come to Christ. But for that to happen, something needs to shift on the inside of us. So all I'm asking is, just take it to the Lord in prayer later today or this week. Say, God, help me. This is really challenging. This is so contrary to what we used to. This is so contrary to the world's way. The world's way is keep as much as you can, invest for yourself. The kingdom's way is give as much as you can and invest in eternity so you can be a wealthy man one day, although people might call you a fool now. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being called a fool now so that I can be wealthy one day. So on this given, it will be given to you. Beginning last year, I was praying at home and I felt the Lord say to me, give from the church's money, give 10,000 rand to a pastor in Southernwood. Pastor, small church, poor church. And I felt the Lord say to me, give 10,000 rand. So we did it. We gave 10,000 rand to this poor pastor. And it was amazing. In April, May, we were at another church and the pastor was praying for me in Sonica, and then the Lord spoke to him and said to him, give to Shofar 10,000 rand. Isn't that cool? For me, that's just a beautiful sign. Give and it will be given unto you. So I got the money back, but I got more than the money. I got, we received eternal riches because we gave. We received favor with God because we gave to the poor. Are you hearing? This is powerful. Give and will be given to you that you might be truly, truly rich. So the poor woman was eternally wise. The rich man, eternally foolish. Our beliefs are not just radically different from God's, but diametrically opposed to him, to them. So, I've got a declaration and a crafted prayer that I want us to do. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to, you're not promising to tithe. We're just going to build up our faith a bit. So let me first read it for you, and then we're gonna say it. It says, I believe in the reality of heaven. I believe that my life on earth is short, while my existence in eternity will be for forever. I declare that my God is trustworthy and able to provide in all my need. I will be eternally rich, not a rich fool. Okay, and then the crafted prayer, what I want us to pray together is, Father, you are my source and eternal hope. Give me eternal eyes that I may give extravagantly and bring great pleasure to your heart. Next one. Thank you that as I give, it will be given to me. I access your kingdom principles and passion to see me blessed so that I can be a great blessing to your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, I'm trusting for the Lord to do something on the inside of us that you and I may reap the fruit many years from now. Okay, please stand with me. Again, don't be obligated to give. If you're visiting us, chill. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to do something in us. To set us free, to empower us to get our eyes off the little bit of red, get our eyes off the red, onto eternity. You realize if we get our eyes on eternity, all of us will live differently. We will be more radically generous, we will be more sacrificial, we will not focus on our comfort so much, we will go for the prize. Let's go for the prize. Amen. Okay. Let me just pray for us. Father God, we thank you that your kingdom is so different than to the kingdom of this world. And so, Father, we bring our hearts before you. We bring our lives before you, God. And we acknowledge that we need help. We need help. Some of us are stuck in debt. Some of us are just battling to make it for the month. And some of us are afraid of the future and what the future holds. Some of us are just so distracted, so busy with life that we're missing the main deal. So, Father, we just bring our hearts before you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and work, come and move, come and work in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Set us free from the power of things, that our hearts and our true prize is heaven. God, your presence. And so, Lord, we pray that you would have your way in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's read the declaration together. I believe in the reality of heaven. I believe that my life on earth is short, while my existence in eternity will be for forever. I declare that my God is trustworthy and able to provide in all my need. I will be eternally rich, not a rich fool. And the second one. Let's pray this. Father, you are my source and eternal hope. Give me eternal eyes that I may give extravagantly and bring great pleasure to your heart. Thank you that as I give, it will be given to me. I access your kingdom principles and passion to see me blessed so that I can be a great blessing to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.